Live Creative Now, episode 22.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, Brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, the podcast for anyone with a creative hunger. Whether you think of yourself as a quote-unquote non-artist, as a non-creative person, or if you think of yourself as an artist, or anything in between. Because the thing is, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color, creative life. This episode is sponsored by The Great Clutter Bust, 30 days to clear your clutter and finally create your dream space. You will not believe how much fun you can have clearing clutter, but here's the thing, when I ran the Great Clutter Bust last year, that is exactly what people said about it. The next Great Clutter Bust officially starts on October 1st. I have not run it in a full year, so this is your time if you're ready to clear some clutter. And when you join, you also get full access to everything in the Creative Sandbox, which is my membership community designed to help you, guess what? Feed your creative hungers, and live a full-color life. And the sooner you join the Great Clutter Bust, the sooner you get access to the Creative Sandbox for free. Your card will not be charged until October. So all the days left in September are free bonus days. But you gotta sign up in September in order to take advantage of those free bonus days. In any case, you can find out everything you need to know about the Great Clutter Bust and about the Creative Sandbox at greatclutterbust.com. That's greatclutterbust.com. And now, on with today's episode. Live creative now. Well, I have to confess that I took on too much again. Oh, yeah. So here's the deal. Every other Thursday morning, I meet with my mastermind group. And at the end of each meeting, the four of us each commit to the goals that we want to achieve before our next meeting, 2 weeks from that day. And ideally, these goals are things that are going to move our businesses forward, things that are going to go above and beyond our usual, you know, day-to-day tasks. So last Thursday, my commitments for 2 weeks from then were to finally put up a sales page for my one-on-one coaching package called The Art and Science of Ease, and two, to write and submit a guest blog post for a website that I have been intending to submit to for months. All of which sounds great. That seems pretty doable, except that I completely forgot to take into account that during those 2 weeks, I am also out of commission for one full day for Yom Kippur, which is the day that this podcast is going to be published, as a matter of fact. I am also out of town for four full days while I attend Life is a Verb Camp, which is an awesome camp, and I will include a link to it in the show notes. And I am also in the middle of pre-launch for my upcoming program, The Great Clutter Bust, which starts on October 1st. So it wasn't until the day after the mastermind meeting that it hit me that these two seemingly uber-realistic items that I had committed to, you know, is doable in 2 weeks. No, in fact, utterly unrealistic for me to get those done in these particular 2 weeks. I would have to bend the space-time continuum to get all of it done by October 1st. So, yet again, I find myself in this position. So what did I do? Did I whip myself to just like plow through and achieve superhuman results? No, I did not. In fact, what I did was I let my mastermind group know that I was revising my commitments. And my new and improved commitment for our next meeting on October 1st is just to launch the Great Clutter Bust, period. Anything else is gravy. And I confess, I had a momentary feeling of failure and real frustration and irritation that once more I overcommitted. But the bigger feeling was I was so proud of myself that I'm finally learning to take better care of my precious self. Here's the thing. Yes, it is good to push ourselves. And yes, it is good to work hard. I am a hard worker and I'm a believer in hard work. But expecting yourself to achieve what only a time-bending superhero could actually achieve is not just not good. That is downright cruel. It's cruel. So, instead of working all weekend to madly try and accomplish the impossible, which is something I have been known to do many, many, many times, no, instead of that, I took all of Saturday off. And it was great. It was exactly what I needed, except for the migraine that came to visit in the afternoon. But that's another story. I share this little episode because I know that I am not the only person who struggles with expecting myself to achieve like superhuman things. And it's really hard to change that habitual way of behaving. It's a habit. But I'm discovering that you can change, and you can actually achieve quite a lot without killing yourself in the process. There is a way to be both ambitious and productive and gentle with yourself at the same time. It's called realism. In any case, if overcommitting is a challenge for you too, I hope this story of my week helps to make your path a little bit easier. I also wanted to share that story because it's just one example of many places where I have a tendency to beat myself up around. And another one is my very imperfect practice of sticking with the kinds of long-term goals that require a ton of persistence. For example, clutter busting. So I shared last week the enormous strides that I have made in decluttering my studio of doom, thanks to the Great Clutter Bust last year. But I have a lot more work to do in the studio and in the rest of the house to get rid of clutter. And I also have to confess to you that I had this lovely intention to keep the clutter busting going throughout the year, you know, a little bit every day, and that did not happen. Honestly, I was kind of burnt out after that really deep dive that I did last year. And also, I really wanted to divert the energy that I'd been putting into clutter busting for that, you know, short, intense burst. I wanted to put that back into my various different creative pursuits. And, you know, as I've mentioned before, like in last week's episode, with something like clutter busting, deep dives just work really well for me because I can see the progress, and seeing progress is just so motivating. And the little tiny and daily stuff can be really powerful, but it doesn't have that same kind of motivating factor to it. So yeah, I didn't do a whole lot of tiny and daily clutter busting after last year's great clutter busts were over. But here's the good thing. I am so pleased that except for a mild sense of false guilt for a few weeks, and I say it's false guilt because I hadn't actually committed an offense against anybody. True guilt is because you're culpable in some way, and I wasn't culpable of anything to anybody. So there was no actual reason for me to feel guilty. But I still felt this mild sense of false guilt for a few weeks. But then I just let go. I just let go of the expectation that I continue clutter busting every day. I let it go and I let that be okay. You know, as they say in the Bible, to everything there is a season, right? Think about a productive field. It needs to lie fallow every so often, every few years, or I don't know exactly how many years it is, but every few years or 7 years or whatever, in order to build up the nutrients to continue to yield really bountiful crops, right? And it's the same thing with anything that we do in our lives. And I knew that the clutter busting season would come around again. And I trusted that when it did, I would be ready for it. I'd be hungry for it. And that's exactly what happened. The next great clutter bust, as I mentioned, starts on Thursday, October 1st. And I am kind of chomping at the bit. And as I mentioned before, if you're interested in joining me, you can sign up at greatclutterbust.com. But let me talk a little bit about this. A lot of people, I think, have this idea that in order to solve a clutter problem, you have to be a minimalist, like an extreme, living in a Spartan space with nothing in it. And that's not true. Everyone has their own comfort level when it comes to how much stuff they hold on to. And there's no right or wrong, except what feels right to you. That is the only right. And the other thing to keep in mind is when you're ready, you're ready. And until you're ready, you're not ready. And that's okay. For me, and this is true for everyone I've talked to about it as well, clearing clutter is like peeling layers off an onion. Certain things are easier to let go of, so they go first. They're like that first layer of the onion. And once you start to liberate space, very interesting thing happens. I have found that I have started to appreciate space even more and crave it more than when I didn't have it. Clearing the clutter out of my house, out of my studio, has made me feel like I can breathe, like I can actually think more clearly. And I have heard countless people say the same thing. This is a really common refrain inside the Great Clutter Bust Facebook group and on our live calls last year. Because when you have experienced that clarity and serenity that comes with liberating your space from clutter, it kind of becomes as if that space is like a concrete thing that you could put on a scale to weigh against the stuff and to weigh against the fears, all those fears that go along with the idea of letting go. Space starts to kind of take the edge off of those fears. The idea of liberating more space feels so delicious that it takes the edge off. You might recognize some of those fears, like, I might need that someday. I'm going to regret it if I let it go. Well, yeah, it's possible. You might regret it. But here's the thing. I've regretted discarding a few things. It was never the end of the world. My best example last year is I had a yard sale, and a couple of things I got rid of in the yard sale were a brayer that I'd never used, was totally clean, and a heat gun that I'd maybe used once or twice, like 15 years ago or something. And then within weeks, like 1 or 2 weeks, I signed up for a mixed media art class that had both of those items on the supply list. I mean, ouch, right? But thankfully, I shared about this with some of my great clutter bust peeps, and they're so smart. They pointed out that, you know, that small amount of money that I spent to replace the brayer, which really irked me at the time, it was so worth the spaciousness and the freedom that I had liberated in the big purge, right? And then the heat gun, I ended up using an old low blow hair dryer instead of buying a new heat gun, and that worked just fine. So another fear that people often have is, if I let go of this stuff, it's going to mean letting go of an identity. It's like closing the door on a chapter of my life, and that's really painful. And yeah, that's true. But remember, if you're not ready, you don't have to let go. You're ready when you're ready. And if you are ready, you might actually find yourself kind of chomping at the bit to get rid of it already. I have an example of that. Until last year's great clutter bust, I have this closet in my studio, and about 4 feet of that closet, maybe it was 3 feet, but like a good chunk of that closet was completely crammed to the gills with Ketubah print samples that I had spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on printing and wrapping with acid-free foam core to use as display samples when I was doing the wedding fair thing. I would display these in my booth at wedding fairs. Now, I did my last wedding fair in 2011, and I have no desire to ever do another one, ever. But still, it was really hard to let go of all those prints because of all the money and the time and the energy that I put into them. And, you know, what if I did decide to change my mind? And da, 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 da. The idea of getting rid of all those prints made that decision that, no, I'm never doing another wedding fair, made it really concrete. That was scary. I had spent over a decade building my Ketubah business. It took me 4 years to fully give myself permission to shift my business building focus away from Ketubah Works, my Ketubah business, and toward living a creative life. Both my business and the reality of living a creative life. But when I did, when I finally drove that big load of Ketubah print samples to the local resource area for teachers, it's called RAFT, where they collect material goods and sell them for super, super cheap to school teachers for use in classrooms. It was really hard, but once I let them go, it was like 1,000-pound weight lifted off my chest, and I never looked back. Whew, and all that space liberated in my closet. I had a closet again. So, you know, on some level, most people know that clutter is not serving them and they want help. Because the thing is, clearing clutter is hard. It is really hard. So many decisions go into letting go and getting rid of something. First, there's the decision to let it go, right? Being ready for that, being able to let go. And then we have to figure out what the heck to do with it. Do we sell it? Try to make some money off of it? If so, how do we sell it? eBay? Craigslist? Who do we sell it to? Is anybody out there want to buy it? Is it worth our time to even sell it? If we're not going to sell it, are we going to give it away? Who do you give it away to? How do you give it away? It's not always easy. If you're not going to sell it or give it away, can you recycle it? I hate sending things to landfill, but not everything is easy to recycle. So it takes, you know, a lot of figuring out to figure out how to recycle something and where to recycle it. And then if you are going to trash it, that often requires some thought and energy as well. How are you going to trash it? Where are you going to trash it? You can't just throw everything in the garbage. It is exhausting. And when you combine that with the psychic and emotional pain of letting go of an identity or closing the door on a chapter of your life, my God, no wonder it's almost impossible to do it alone. I created the Great Clutter Bust to deal with all of that, all of the stuff I just talked about. And it worked so brilliantly. And I knew from experience of the power of community and the accountability that the community brings and the support that the community brings, I was pretty confident that it would get me to clear my clutter. But what I didn't expect was that it would make it so fun. That was another really common refrain last year. Who knew clutter busting could be so fun? They said a lot more than that, though. Here is what one of my European members had to say.
I very quickly realized that I had really no motivation to do a big, huge, great clutter bust. But even to do just a little bit, it helped me so much to have this community and to have this structure. So I decided I will just reserve once or twice a week, 1.5 hours or something like this. And actually, I very much appreciate the structure of your program because it allowed for that. So everybody was free to do as much or as little as we wanted to. And it was a community that always made you feel very good about whatever we accomplished, whether it was small, whether it was big. It really helped to keep the motivation going that everybody else was kind of celebrating every little bit of progress. As always, the kinds of people that showed up were just really good people. That tends to happen in your courses, and this is one of the reasons why I keep coming back, because I can be almost sure that whoever I meet in your classes and your groups and your offerings, they are wonderful people.
And another member, Lisa Stevens, shared the following.
I think I've really gotten more energy. I think it really helped me get out of the self-condemnation thing. And it's not that I'm now perfect. I think it's more giving myself permission to have the ups and the downs and knowing that when the time is right, then I'm going to grab something and I'm going to work on it and declutter it. And I think too, also with the bite-sized chunks, instead of thinking I have to devote an entire Saturday, it's okay just to devote 1 hour. I think I really got unstuck in other areas of my life where I just felt like, oh yeah, you know, I can do more. I feel like I'm more productive in many ways.
So last year was pretty amazing, but I have a feeling that this year's Great Clutter Bust is going to be even more epic. So I recently read this book you might have heard of. It's all over the place, all over the news and popular culture. It's by a Japanese woman named Marie Kondo, and it's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And I will include a link in the show notes. This book, boy, you know what? I really feel like it helped me loosen up another layer of attachment. Like I'm ready to let go of deeper layers of my clutter onion. And I am not just ready, I am excited. And the people who are already signed up are excited too. Everybody in the Creative Sandbox membership community, we were talking about it and things we're planning on letting go of and books we've read about clutter busting. I can feel the energy. It's practically buzzing. I would love for you to join us if that idea of clearing your space speaks to you. Just visit greatclutterbust.com. And if you join now, you'll get access to the Creative Sandbox community for the rest of September for free. The sooner you join, the more free days you get. So go to greatclutterbust.com and I hope to see you inside. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. Would you like to get a chance to chat with me live and ask your own question about living a full-color creative life? Well, you can. Through the end of 2015, I am holding live calls on the first Tuesday of every month. Just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and click on the big green button to register. That is livecreativenow.com/questions. Meanwhile, if you are getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and leave a 5-star rating and review over on iTunes. Why? Because those ratings and reviews make a huge difference in how the show shows up in the iTunes store. And that makes a big difference in helping other people find it. And that helps grow the Creative Uprising. So you can play an important role in this movement simply by leaving a review. And of course, telling your friends. Plus, I would be super duper grateful. Thanks again for joining me, and until next time, go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.